First off, I wanted to start off with a little thing I just found out about Emma Stone today. Actually, I think I found out about it earlier this week, but it popped back up on my feed today, and it's applicable. So, everybody know Emma Stone? I'm a big fan, honestly. Her and Easy A was one of my favorite movies, but anyway. So, she has a new movie coming out. I don't know too many details about this movie. I won't lie to you. However, I was on my Facebook. It popped up on my feed, and it was like, viewers are mad that people are calling for censorship in an Emma Stone movie. And I was really curious because I haven't seen Emma Stone in something that's super like scandalous before, and so I was like, what is she doing? Click on the article, and I'm reading through it, and they're like, they start off with just, they cannot believe that censorship still exists in 2024. I read about what the people are trying to get censored, and it's specifically in the UK. I don't know if it's going to be censored here in the US. Honestly, I think after reading this little tidbit, I wouldn't recommend this movie by any means. anyways, so she is going to be a prostitute, I guess, in the next movie that she is. It sounds like she's almost not like a human being, but she is a human being. I don't know how to follow that premise besides just the couple of lines I just said here. But anyway, she's a prostitute. Somebody is hiring her in. A father is hiring her in to teach her sons, or to teach his sons, about sex and what that looks like. So, and people are like, why is that bad? People should know about sex, whatever. Anyways, in order to teach these kids about sex, she then has sex with the father in front of the two boys. Yes. Yeah, right? And people, I know, isn't that so, that should be alarming to people. That should be something that we're like, we look at that and we think, that's bad. Like, no way do I even have to think too hard about that. That just seems like common sense. We shouldn't show that. However, in 2024, people are thinking, that shouldn't be bad at all. Why wouldn't we allow people to see that? and I think that just kind of ties in with where we are in a culture. I think we're becoming very desensitized to sexual things. Everybody has a Snapchat or an Instagram or... what is the Visco?
I don't know
a lot of
it.
It's TikTok. Okay. aged myself, I see. But you guys have all these platforms that you post pictures, you're seeing all these things. Has anybody ever been on one that's like, hey, come follow my OnlyFans? Come watch this. Okay, yes, and you think that and you're like, does that raise any red flags to somebody? And then it's like, why are we posting about that? I'm assuming a brother or sister follow you, like somebody in your family probably follows you, that it should be like, oh, I don't want necessarily for everyone to know that I'm doing those things. We have OnlyFans, we have porn. I think honestly it's so easy, especially whenever people get hacked on their social media platforms, and then you randomly just have like this regular or this out-of-pocket pornography picture just pop up on your feed. And it's like, whoa, if anybody's over your shoulder and you're like, I promise I wasn't looking at anything. This isn't something that would probably take place in public. But everything like that, so accessible. And I almost feel bad for, no, I do. I feel very sad for the fact that this generation of people, you have porn, you have anything within access that could potentially cause lustful thoughts. So easy to access, though. And it's, you know, we're given phones, what, like junior high now at this point? And it's becoming a norm in our culture. And it's becoming so normal that we think we aren't raised any of concerns. It's just like, oh, this is just where we are. And this is normal. And this is how it should be. But at the end of the day, that's not. I will say, too, sometimes I'll be on TikTok. And honestly, I am somebody that reads a lot. So I'm on, like, BookTok. And BookTok can get straight up nasty. I can't even lie to you. Some of the things that people are posting that they read about and stuff, and I'm like, and it'll have like a couple of thousand likes, a couple of thousands, like 100,000. And it'll be like, read this book, it's amazing. And it'll be like a little snippet of a scene, and it's just a couple people having sex. And I'm like, we're able to just post this onto our social medias, and we think that it's okay. That is just, it's alarming. It's very raised of concern. So obviously one of the things that we will be talking about is if the eye causes you to sin. In Matthew 5, 27 through 30, it says, you have heard that it was said, you must not be guilty of adultery. But I tell you that if anyone looks at a woman and wants to sin sexually with her, in his mind he has already done that sin with the woman. If your right eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Another verse I wanted to talk about was 1 Corinthians 6:18-19. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So specifically in Matthew 5, whenever it's like, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. I think we are living in a society where we typically can see something, we want something, we get it. You know, we're all about that instant gratification in life. So, honestly, too, if I sing this song, I see it, I want it.
I get it.
Yeah, everybody knows it. Everybody knows. Maya, we aren't supposed to get too excited. Okay, but yeah, we know that song. It's very popular, but we are, there's not a lot of boundaries that we're setting within ourselves. And I think in society that we're growing up in, it's almost abnormal or absurd for even to think, if you want to see, if you see something, you should go and get that if you want it. Like, there's nothing against it. And that's something that I feel like happens whenever you allow the eye to control yourself or to control you. You will feel instant gratification in the things that you want. Instant gratification, I did just want to kind of define it for people, is to desire, or the desire to experience instant pleasure or fulfillment without delay or deferment. And obviously, whenever we're thinking about this, it's very easy to think sexual sin. I see that hot guy. I want that hot guy. No matter what it is, he follows God, he doesn't, I will get said hot guy. But I think it does also pertain to more things. Whenever I do think of specifically relationships, when people are in relationships, and if they start to struggle with sexual sin, it's not something that I'm like, oh, we went 0 to 100 in just sexual sin here. No, there was typically probably little red flags or indicators beforehand that there was going to be some kind of struggle. I think of, typically I see a selfishness with inside of them. They want to please self. And then, or there's areas of like, okay, this person's challenged. I'm telling them they have bad attitude in these things, but they don't want to listen to even the small things. So obviously when I'm trying to guide their relationship, whatever they're trying to go into, they're not listening. They suddenly find themselves, not suddenly, you are very inching closer and closer to sex and relationship, or just things that are outside the bounds of what God desires for us. I think this can also go into more areas of life. And it's not just the necessary of pleasing self, but maybe I don't want to feel a certain way. So if I'm sad and I don't want to feel sad, I don't want to talk about my feelings, I'll see some food and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to eat that food. Instant gratification to not feel that way anymore. If I'm mad, I'm frustrated. Do I pray about it? Do I talk about it? No, I'm going to go work out. I know those are two contradictives, but I'm a conundrum. But I'm going to go work out. I'm going to do those. Feeling anxious. And honestly, this is me a lot lately. I'm in a big, what's the new word I've been saying a lot? Starts with a T.
Transition.
There we go. I'm in a big transitional part in my life, and I'm feeling very anxious over it. And do I go to prayer? Is that something that I go to for first? No, I'm either reading a book or I'm watching TV, because it instantly turns my brain off and I don't have to think about things anymore. I think of the fact of like, and I know this happens, and if you try to tell me it doesn't happen, I'm just going to call people liars from now on. If I ever feel insecure, if I feel like I'm not pretty, if I feel just very ugly in the body that I currently have, if I want justification in feeling pretty, what's the easiest way to go about that? Anybody?
Male validation.
Male validation, yes, but how do we think people typically do? Post on the internet, that's right. Yeah, thirst traps. I'm going to take a picture where I look good and I'm going to get all the likes. I'm going to wear this outfit because I know I'll get more attention from somebody. I'm going to do this so I can instantly feel better about myself. And that's where we are. We're constantly seeking out that instant gratification and instead of trying to really seek out, why am I feeling this way? But instead, we're allowing the eye to control what we do in our lives. I did just want to kind of go to the verses, some scriptures in the Bible of what it says about instant gratification. In Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, Anything I saw and I wanted, I got for myself. I did not miss any pleasure I desired. I was pleased with everything I did, and this pleasure was the reward for all my hard work. But then I looked at what I had done and I thought about all the hard work. Suddenly I realized it was useless, like chasing the wind. There is nothing to gain from anything we do here on earth. And one of my favorite things too to do is I'll look at Bible or scriptures and I'll make sure that obviously fits with what I think is actually taking place. But then I'll look up scientific studies and if the world actually kind of is on the same page or not, because they'll think it's like, oh, now we've discovered. But in reality, I'm like, hey, ding dongs, it's been in the Bible for thousands of years. We just kind of need to turn there. And this is actually from a Forbes magazine, so it's not like scientifically backed. But we are just looking for short-term satisfaction without any thought to long-term consequence. In the long run, this can be detrimental to our health and well-being. It can lead to obesity, mental health problems, and even addiction. So I want to address how to combat the desires of the heart. First, you have to know and understand your commitment. And whenever I say know and know your commitment, you have to know God's word and you have to spend time in it. How do we spend our time? Is it in God's word? What are we listening to? What TV shows are we watching? it actually came up not too long ago, but it was probably a year. So I was on the internet and I was, again, scrolling through social media. An article popped up and it was Bridgerton. I won't even lie to you. It was Bridgerton, and Bridgerton is now showing like a 25-minute sex scene or something like that. And that was even alarming to the world, you know? And they were like, we have to post about this. This is almost absurd. I've never watched Bridgerton, so I don't know if this is like the full circumference of the show. So I'm not being like, Bridgerton bad, Bridgerton bad. I just know that once I saw this article, I wasn't even going to give it a shot. Okay? But it was alarming even to sites and the pop culture of like, hey, this episode's containing sex. Let's go watch it. Like, hey, this is something new. This is exciting. And then I genuinely show up to church and people are talking about, oh, look at the new show I watched. And I'm like, what? Because I didn't watch it. I don't know. But all I know is this article just told me there's a 25-minute sex scene in that. And y'all are just watching it. And I was like, okay. And I think about that. And it's really easy to be like, yeah, I fast forward it. And I'm like, but you have to watch it to see when it stops. And if it's 25 minutes, you're watching that TV just in quick motion for a long time, right? Like, that's not crazy for me to think, right? Everybody, yeah, okay. But that's where we are. We almost as a church have been incorporating these things more into our lives without thinking of like, okay, what kind of consequences is this going to do? Because I'm telling you right now, if you're able to watch this sex scene that goes on for 25 minutes and it doesn't do anything to your body or put thoughts into your head, I'm kind of curious to know why. I think the same things with books we read. Like I said, I read a lot of books and there are some things out there that I'm like, hey, Jake, it's time to go, bud. You know what I mean? But it's not like I'm like seeking those things out, but it does pop up in these books. And I have a husband. And when I think of like these women that are watching it, reading things, and there's not like an area of concern, and we're almost talking about it in a sense of like, oh, this is normal. This is something that we should do. But we're not even thinking about what the implications that means for the future. Because your body, I think everybody knows I'm obsessed with Craig Rochelle. That knows me. In the end, what would he do whenever we are watching these things, when we read these things? And our body has a response to said things. Even with like masturbation, things on that end, we're training our body to respond in a specific manner, and then we're gonna build a tolerance. We're gonna build a tolerance for what it's gonna have to be met in order to meet that same standard. Does that make sense? So we have to think of these long-term effects that we're having. But I also think whenever we spend more time in God's word, you're not craving those things as much. You won't look at that and think, okay, you fill your cup. You fill your cup up with 90% of good things, and then you suddenly only have room for 10% of more things. Do you think you're going to fill up your nice ice cold water up with something that's gross, something that's not good? No, you don't want that, because you want only what is good in your life. If you really seek out to know God's word, you're going to fill yourself up with God's word, and I don't think you'll be as tempted to experience things of the world that are so easily accessible. Also, I want to address just the radical commitment that is in Matthew 5 when it says, if the right eye causes you to sin, what's it say? Gouge it out. Throw it away, because it's better for one part of your body to go into hell than the whole body to go into the fire pits of hell. That means there's a very radical commitment to how we should look at these sins, how we should look at the things that are allowing or catching our gaze. I think working in campus ministry, one of the things that I do hear a lot of is, well, it's not technically a sin, right? Like, I can technically do this, and that's okay. She made a face, so I'm really curious. but everybody, has anybody else said that in the room? Is it just me? I know I've even said that, too, of like, it's not technically a sin, that's fine. But I recently, it just popped up in my head, but if I were to ever go to Jake and be like, hey, Jake, I feel uncomfortable with this relationship that you have with this woman. Like, this friendship seems to almost cross some boundaries that I feel like could potentially lead you into dangerous situations. Like, I don't necessarily think it's there yet, but I think that it could be. And that really is an area of concern. Just for me and my marriage. I want a good marriage. And if my husband responded to me in the fact of, it's not technically a sin. Exactly, right? You think that's gonna go over well? No! My inner, what do you say? It's coming out though. It's about to go down to me and my marriage. Somebody's gonna have to pull me off of Jake because it's probably gonna end up in a phone call to the police. But are we treating God like that? Is that how we treat our relationship with God? If we're doing these things that could be area of concern, whether that be something we watch, something that we wear, something that we're reading, but we're like, it's not technically a sin, right? Everybody's coming to us being like, hey, you're maybe spending too much time with this guy. Like, I think it could potentially lead into dangers, but he's really hot and it's not technically a sin. So I'm not doing anything yet. We're good, right? No, why would we look at God, the God that made the ultimate sacrifice, the one that's showing us so many good and pure things, and be like, it's not technically there yet, so I'm not going to be of concern. I think we need to look at the things that are potential red flags, our potential dangers, and be very radical about it. Not necessarily toe the line, but run away. Run away in the opposite direction and fill yourself up with the things that are good and the things that are pure. So, in Galatians 2:20, it says, I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to save me. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful selves. They have given up their own selfish feelings and the evil things they wanted to do. So, in your commitment to Christ, so you know God's word and you know the commitment that you've made. You died to self. You no longer live to whoever you were before. You're no longer a Chloe, whoever wants to do whatever you want to do. You're no longer Hattie, Hadessa, Maggie, or any of these people. You literally live for God, and that's your only role. And it's very easy for us to be like, well, naturally I'm like this. Well, I've only known these things. Well, I've been doing it for this amount of years, so it's just going to take some time for me to get there. Which, it might be true, but like, how radically are you looking at these things in your life that you're wanting to turn away from? Is it going to be something that you're very committed to and you're wanting to actually make the effort and be very radical in the decisions that you make from today forward and changing? So, the first one was knowing and understanding your commitment, but the second one is being proactive. And in that, I think we have to build up quality disciplines and establish healthy boundaries. Like I said, I'm kind of obsessed with Craig Rochelle. I think I already mentioned Winning the War in Your Mind. However, his follow-up book, Power to Change, also amazing. You guys can write these down because they're great. But in his book, he says, discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. And I will kind of touch more on that in the later on. But what kind of boundaries are we establishing? If you do feel like this has a potential for an area of sin, do you set up boundaries or do you just consistently find yourself in questionable situations? So say you and a boyfriend are struggling with sexual sin, and you don't have any boundaries as far as like, oh, we're having long drawn out conversations in the car that are very deep and we're talking about our feelings the whole time, but suddenly we find ourselves making out and on top of each other's laps, and it's like, well, yeah, let's not do that in the car parked for 3 hours. Like, that doesn't seem like the best decision. Or you just go alone to your guys' dorm room, to apartments where you know nobody's going to be able to hold you accountable for. I think also if you know that you're struggling with like impure thoughts, with just the way that your brain is kind of thinking, but you allow yourself to listen to music that's talking about sex the whole time, or you allow yourself to watch shows, like I said, that are very questionable in nature, and even the world knows them as only sexual shows. Like, why are we allowing that stuff? We should have boundaries within our lives that protect us from the potential dangers that are out there. I think you do need to identify where and how sin is taking place. And I think talking to people that are in your life that, you know, you have a good relationship with and know you very well to help maybe establish those boundaries is wise. But definitely even whenever we're thinking about even the way that we handle things in the previous point of just being radical, like sometimes you do have to be pretty extreme in the boundaries that you set for yourself. Especially I think of whenever I go on like diets and stuff, I can't just be like, okay, well once a day I'll allow myself this treat and it'll all be okay, because no, I'm going to engorge on that. And I have to have these boundaries in my life to protect myself in order to attain the goal that I want in the end. This is actually something that I feel like my friend Maggie does a really good job at, and she's challenged me up pretty consistently of just like the TV shows that I watch. And because even like I think honestly, I didn't realize how bad some of the TV shows were until I started watching them with my kids. And I would think, oh, this is going to be great. Like recently, I just started watching Friends again with my kids. And I'm like, oh, shoot, every episode almost is about sex. And I was like, I didn't realize that when I was younger. What is this? And so I think having people in your life that are going to be like, hey, this is a questionable thing. Hey, I look at Maggie and she always dresses pretty modestly too and very stylish still. But she's not like somebody that you look at and you think, oh, she still belongs in the Amish community by any means. Like, she's still somebody that is trending and on topic, but she has found a really good way of incorporating good boundaries that are still aligning with God's word. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that just aligns with what we were saying of like, if you know God's word, and if you're only trying to seek out God and honoring God and what is fulfilling to the Bible, you won't be as tempted to conform just to the world and what the world is doing. Sometimes we do have to be set apart and just the boundaries that we have for ourselves. And that's okay, because we're obviously serving somebody that's much better than anything the world has to offer. I think also knowing truth over your feelings. And this is something that I stand firm in. sin feels good in the moment. That's true, obviously. Like, I think we are created in that way. Like, I think God created us in a manner that to experience, like, especially sexual impurity or sexual in nature, like, the way that God designed sex, it's supposed to feel good. And I'm very grateful for that. I think that's good. But I think we can kind of get caught up in that in our own selfish desires of wanting to fulfill those, oh, but I want to feel good in this moment, instead of thinking of what the truth is and what God's word says. Ephesians 5, 3 through 6. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving for all of this. For of this, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So, feelings. These things feel good. These things give me that instant gratification that I seek, but the truth of the matter is there's going to be consequence for that. Is this feeling that you currently feel worth the impending hell that's on the horizon if you continue down this path? And I know that sounds extreme, but we should take very extreme measures in how we view sin. or is this feeling that I currently have worth my relationship with God, worth like my where I stand in my faith, is those things that are actually worth it. We have to know the truth of the matter versus just what we feel at the current time. And I think that leads us into our third point, which is keeping your eye on the prize. In 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will be disqualified for the prize. What's your goal? What is your goal in life? Anybody want to shout it out real quick? Whatever your goal is. As a disciple, what do you think it is? Well, as a disciple. Oh, we'll get to you.
No,
no. Well, I'll just go. There we go. Yes. To make disciples. Yes. Sorry about that little one. But yes, to make disciples. But also our goal is heaven. We want to spend eternity in heaven, right? So what are we doing now to be able to have that goal? My mom, I think, has done a really good job at this since I was like a young teen. Even before that, honestly, of whenever you get before God, can you stand before him and be like, I am pure and holy? But not only that, can you stand before him and say, these other people in my life, I have only helped in maintaining their pure and holiness? Because yes, your decisions will affect, like if you're in a relationship, sexual decisions will affect the person that you're in a relationship with. But we also know that our decisions have effects on the world or the people around us, those who listen to us. In Ephesians 5, 3 through 6, wait, no, I lied to you. Philippians 4, 5 through 9. Let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand, will keep your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable. Right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you have learned from me, what I told you, and what you saw me do, and the God who gives you peace will be with you. We are going to have to answer to the things that we do. Can we look at our lives now and be like, I'm doing everything in my power to say, I'm being pure, I'm being holy. And those are things that are very hard, and I actually think that a lot of people have hit on this. I know that even Robert hit on it today in his sermon. But are we doing the things that would present us holy before God and doing the tasks that would help present the other people around us as well? We want to serve and honor God in our decisions today and be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. And I think that obviously is the goal. Obviously. Know that that is the goal that I talk about. However, whenever you think of your goal here on earth, you did mention you wanted to have a family, which you were right. I think a lot of people do want to have that goal of, I want to have a good marriage. I want to have a good family. When I think of Jake and I's marriage, I wish I could stand before you and be like, we were so pure. We were. We weren't at all. And I am one of those people that have allowed my heart or my eye to get distracted by the desires of the heart and control my body. So we struggled with impurities, I want to say. We dated for the first time in high school. And it pretty much started off instantly of just the things that took place. But it didn't just start with the sexual activity. Like, it did start with, I was feeling insecure. I wanted to feel these things. But also, once I discovered, like, how I could make him feel, that also kind of made me feel, like, more powerful. And I was like, I like to be able to do this. I like these things. And that's kind of what I pursued at the time. I even remember, it's embarrassing, honestly, because I think it might have been, no, okay. But it was from a retreat, and the first time I was felt up was actually in the back of a bus from a retreat like this, and I was surrounded by people. And it's kind of embarrassing to talk about, obviously, but that's the consequences of my sin. One of the things that I'm going to have to do is talk to my kids about this and talk to them about, yeah, you know, I actually, that's where that first took place. Because I didn't have boundaries, or because of the fact that I wasn't proactive in the way that I went about the sin. That's where your mom first got those feelings, you know what I mean? And that's kind of embarrassing. I think of my marriage to Jake, I can say is very good, and I'm very grateful for it. And even when I think of, like, in the terms of sexual sin, I am with a man that I know once, not sexual sin, just sex sin in general. But I'm with a man that honestly wants to take really good care of me, and I'm very grateful for that. But I know sometimes whenever we let our eye just control who we look at, and that dude's really selfish, and that dude isn't known for a lot of godly principles. But then you're like, oh, he's hot, he's all this, and I wanna be connected with him for forever. A, you're not even guaranteed a guy that's gonna actually care about the fun stuff that should come with sex because they're so selfish. Like, think about that. Do you actually want to compromise your relationship with God for that? Because I tell you right now, if you end up with that in marriage, it's not going to be great. It's going to be really hard. And I'm so grateful for the fact that I do have that in my marriage. But I will say also that Jake did struggle with pornography a lot whenever he was growing up. I want to say it probably started junior high, all throughout high school, and a little bit of college. And that does have an imprint on a person's brain. You're training your brain to believe and see these things. So now there's kind of unrealistic expectations as far as what sex should be, what sex should look like. And it's not always going to look like these movies that you see. It's not always going to be like these books that you're reading about. And you're setting yourself almost up for failure, whether that be how your sin's going to impact the significant other that you're with, or even yourself, of what your expectations will be. Or like we even talked about before, you might be desensitized to things that if you would have held off and kind of waited that, God could have provided something really good, but because we allowed ourselves to be opened up to things that are potentially really dangerous, it's gonna kind of taint what could be in a marriage. I also know a lot of other women and men, I think this is more on the women's side, but I know women that are in godly relationships, godly marriages with good men and with people that honestly really care about them, but honestly because they opened up their hearts and lives to having sex with other guys before who treated them really bad, that's what they take out on their husband, who isn't any of those things. But because of the fact that we allowed these sins into our lives, we didn't have those boundaries, it's going to affect these marriages. And like I said, it's not just the marriages. We talked earlier about, if you're feeling insecure, thirst traps, let's get those likes, let's get those comments, girls. Yeah. But do you think those things are going away as soon as you become a mom? No. You're still an insecure woman. You're still going to be looking for other ways to feel security. And maybe it's not through sexual sin. Maybe it's not. But your kids are going to pick up on it. Your kids are going to see, oh man, mom's doing this again. Mom's acting this way because you're not secure. I think of one of the goals that I want to be known as, and one of the things that I like to have, is that I'm a faithful woman, that I'm somebody that's disciplined, somebody that isn't controlled by whatever I see or whatever I want in that temporary moment. But in order to achieve that, we do have to get our eyes under control. And I know I feel like I kind of just overloaded as far as, oh, the bad impacts. Like, oh, you guys are now tainted because sexual sin took place, or, you know, I'm insecure, and oh, I've posted these really questionable pictures to get the likes, but that's all out there. But I think what's really cool about God is that there's always a redemption. We don't have to continually be this way. And while my marriage, there is those times where, like, the porn, it does come up with the impact of that, or even our previous sexual sins that we struggled with, that doesn't mean my marriage is bad. My marriage is very good, and we have to deal with problems as they arise, and thankfully God gives us the tools in order to do that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And there's that if comment of if anyone is in Christ, because you have a choice in this matter. You have a choice of who you serve. In Romans, where it talks about you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God, those are your choices, and you'd have one here, and it's obviously a very important choice to make. But God does have the ability to make things new, and he has the ability to transform hearts and do more things than we are ever capable of. And you can have those things of good marriages, being a good wife, being somebody that's secure, being somebody that is above the temptations of the world. And not to say that you'll be perfect, because you won't be. And even if there is previous sin in the past, you'll be able to use that for God's kingdom. Don't get me wrong. And I want to make that a preface of, I don't think anybody is innately bad if there is a struggle. I think it's very normal to have the struggle. And I think it's something that we should always talk about and be open about, because at the end of the day, we'll be able to serve God and his kingdom through it. I'm going to pray real quick, and then I think I might have ended a little early, so don't be too loud whenever going anywhere. But yeah. Dear God, I just want to thank you so much for being able to speak and talk to these women about the things of the world and just kind of having control over the eye and not letting it just control our lives. I'm really grateful for the women that are in this room. I think it can be really easy to be tempted by the world, but I really do believe at the end of the day that you can set us apart through anything and make us into new beings that don't just seek out to please self, but to please and honor you through our actions, God. And I just pray that we can look to the commitments that we've made and look to just everything that we're learning at this retreat and really put it into action in our lives and just how we go about our days from here on out, God. But I love you a lot, and thank you so much just for this weekend to be able to spend time with all these women. Amen.